on Triple J.
This is 2013.
On Triple J. It's great stuff, isn't it? That's spine-tingling stuff from Villagers. And that track is called The Bell from the album Awayland. In fact, we've been featuring that album all this past week on Triple J. It's the second album from an Irish outfit that is led by Conor O'Brien. He is pretty much the musical mind behind Villagers. A couple of years ago, the first album, Becoming a Jackal, won him much acclaim. It actually also won him the Ivor Novello Award, and it was nominated for the Mercury Music Prize for the UK album of that year. So Awayland is the anticipated second album. He lives in Dublin. I spoke to him just this past week because I wanted to find out about all the new ideas that have gone into making this album. It's really thick with lyrics. There's some really surprising sounds in here. It's very different to the first album, which was much more stripped back and acoustic. So I spoke to him about the ideas that went into this new album and the differences between this album and the first.
When I brought out the last album, I was a little bit more, I think I was just excited about the possibilities of making a stripped back kind of melancholy affair, because I'd never done it before. So I was kind of playing with that sort of romanticizing the kind of sadness within the songs and I'm very proud of that album, but I feel like this one, it's more of a tragicomedy, you know, kind of like, it still goes to dark places, like, you know, like everybody does in life kind of thing, but it sort of laughs at them and pokes them and sort of dances around them. And I feel like that's the sort of music I want to make from now on.
There is a sort of like a bizarre nature behind the arrangements and some of the lyrics on this record too, which kind of really leap out this time round.
Yeah. I kind of just wanted to lose our minds a little bit and just let the arrangements almost take over, because the lyrics came sort of last this time. I was kind of experimenting with samplers and synthesizers and all these things that I'd never played with before. And then when it got to the stages of the songs actually forming, I kind of realized that it was going to be a song-based album again. But for a little while, I thought it might just be a purely instrumental kind of krautrock kind of vibe. But luckily it didn't become that.
I think that might have confused people for the second album.
yeah. Because all I was listening to was instrumental music and electronic music and very old techno music. I wasn't really listening to any singer-songwriters or anything at this stage, so I was much more into textures. So it's a surprise to me that it's quite a lyrical album, because I wasn't really expecting that. I thought I'd lost that ability. The first few demos that I sent to my manager and the label or whatever, I think they were all horrified, because it was just like grooves and beats and stuff. But yeah, slowly and surely the songs came.
When it came time to actually writing the words, the poetic nature of your lyric writing is really obvious. The lyrics are really precise too at times. Do you agonise over coming up with the words?
Yeah, I actually do a little bit. It doesn't come very easily. I tend to work very hard at it, and there's a lot of singing sounds, making noises along with the music and feeling out the syllables before any actual meaning starts appearing. But I think that's kind of important, because for me, the melody and the rhythm, it should be the kind of the focal point, because it's music, you know? It's not like a book or a poem or anything. The meaning almost should just be secondary in the process of writing the songs. And I think I discovered that this time around. And so the words are a little bit less self-conscious. They're a bit more open, I think. For me, you get a lot of singer-songwriters or people with acoustic guitars who kind of think that it's cool to just like sing about their feelings and their last breakup or whatever, and that's fine, but I always get really bored when I listen to that music. I think the craft of songwriting is in taking your feelings and your emotions, but then making something which anybody can put their own experiences into.
What sort of, if you were talking about it from a very personal way, like your own perspective, what sort of a mood do you think you were in when you were kind of generating a lot of this material?
It was post-touring, so we'd just finished pretty much 2 years of touring, and I only had a few kind of songs in my notebook, So I was kind of just completely lost, really. I didn't really know what we were doing. So I had no idea what I was going to write about or if there was going to be a theme. With the first album, I had a very academic kind of approach where I had the theme and I had the artwork before I'd even written most of the album. Whereas this time around, I had nothing, you know? So I was kind of just floating, really, just making sounds and noises and experimenting. And yeah, slowly this kind of feeling of a childish sense of wonder about the world, kind of a curiosity about everything, and just a general kind of technicolor kind of feeling started appearing.
And you said that the first record, kind of, you had a title, you had the artwork, you kind of had the framework. When did the title Awayland enter the picture, and what does it really mean in the whole meaning of these songs?
It was right at the very end, really. I knew that the songs were sort of about that kind of, like, looking at things from an incredibly fresh perspective. The way that I approached any themes in the music. I tried to approach it from like a child's perspective, so that none of my experiences or anything like infected the meaning of the music or the feelings. So I knew I wanted a title which sounded a little bit childish, like a made up word. And I also liked the fact that it sort of sounds like the opposite of homeland, which is like, you know, all the connotations that come with that, you know, and the kind of ideas of nationality and everything. I think the songs are kind of as far away from that as humanly possible, really. They come from a place before you start creating all those boundaries in your mind, I guess.
The meaning of putting it in brackets as well, is that anything significant? Because the title of the album is, in everything I've read, it's got parentheses around it. Why?
Yeah. I wanted it to be like sort of like an internal journey, because that's what it was. That's what the album ended up being. It travels a lot, and there's a lot of place names, and there's a lot of references to landscapes and movement. And I guess that came from touring, but I also used it as a metaphor for an internal journey and for the changes that you go through as you grow, I guess.
Just finally, Connor, I just noticed also with having the physical album in front of me that you've put a dedication of the record, obviously, to a family member, because it shares it shares O'Brien, the surname. It says the album's entirely dedicated to Aoife O'Brien. I think Aoife is the correct way of pronouncing the Irish name.
Mm-hmm.
Who's Aoife O'Brien?
That's my sister. She died suddenly the week of the release of the first album. So I had sort of a bittersweet time on tour with that album. And I guess a lot of these songs came from that feeling of playing shows every night, but inside you're kind of in another place, you know? So, yeah, yeah.
That must have been an incredibly confusing period for you, because as you said, you've just put the record together, you've just released it to the world, but then you're in a completely another headspace.
Yeah, it was crazy. I don't really know how to talk about it, really. I don't know. It was a very strange experience. I think it made me turn my idea of what I wanted the music to do on its head, you know? Because I kind of had to live then with a year and a half of touring these songs, which I had written from a much more innocent place, really.
Was her death literally unexpected? Was it a total surprise?
Yeah.
Wow. I can't imagine the emotions that you must have been feeling at that time. I didn't know that story, so thanks for sharing that with me, but I'm really sorry to hear that happened. I want to go out with one final track, and that is Nothing Arrived, which is obviously the second single from the record, the one that we've been playing the most of late. I don't want to talk about death within it, but it does have the lyric Something Died within it. Is this a bleak song to you when you listen back to it?
I think it's quite a happy song. I was reading a lot of Kurt Vonnegut at the time, and he's like a kind of ultimate kind of humanist, and I kind of wanted to write something which was about you can feel that utter, you know, whenever you go through that something crazy and you feel an utter void and complete meaninglessness of everything. There's an idea that you could actually maybe join a religion or something, or as a crutch, you know. And this song is kind of about, you know, for me anyway. I felt like kind of resisting that and almost living with the void, I guess. And that's almost what brings us together, you know, as as human beings in this world.
Right, yeah. Okay.
And so I put it into like a jangly pop song and yeah.
Were you reading Slaughterhouse-Five at the time?
I was reading Man Without a Country at the time, but Slaughterhouse-Five was after that I read, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, let's hear it right now. This is Nothing Arrived from Villages. Conor O'Brien, thanks for spending time with us. Hopefully we'll see you and the band out here sometime later this year too.
Cheers, thank you.